TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. The Loss of West Antarctic Glaciers. A new study presented by Professor Eric Rignot and fellow researchers at NASA and the University of California, Irvine, presented in May 2014, finds a rapidly melting section of the West Antarctic ice sheet appears to be in an irreversible state of decline. The Pine Island, Thwaites, and four other glaciers contain enough ice to raise global sea level by 4 feet. And they are melting faster than most scientists had expected. These new findings, we're told, will require an upward revision to current predictions of sea level rise. The NASA glaciologist Eric Rignot, who's also professor of Earth System Science at the University of California, Irvine, incorporated 4 decades of research and on May 12, 2014, presented results by him and his team that are based on real observations by satellites and fieldwork, not computer models. Rignot was quoted by The Guardian regarding the timeline, quote, 2 centuries, if that is what it takes, may seem like a long time, but there's no red button to stop this process. Reversing the climate system to what it was in the 1970s seems unlikely. We can barely get a grip on emissions that have tripled since the Kyoto Protocol, which was designed to hit reduction targets. Slowing down climate warming remains a good idea, however. The Antarctic system will at least take longer to get to this point. End quote. After the paper on the loss of West Antarctic glaciers was vetted and accepted for publication, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, organized an online press conference. And you're about to hear the audio from the presentations by NASA officials and scientists, questions from the media, and answers. Data that Mother Jones editors chose to headline with, "This is what a holy SHIT moment for global warming looks like." If the predictions for sea level rise are correct, and given the available data and caliber of scientists and institutions involved, there is very little doubt. This press conference will enter the annals of climate analysis as the day that may not be forgotten. Even though scientists say that the melting of the Pine Island Thwaites Glacier area can no longer be stopped, there are several other vulnerable areas on Antarctica with much more water held in ice. And the opportunity is now to prevent those from reaching a point of no return as well. Here's the press conference as it unfolded in the cool and unemotional language of science. First, you will hear "Welcome" by Steve Cole from NASA's Office of Communications, followed by Tom Wagner, cryosphere program scientist with the Earth Science Division of NASA. He in turn introduces the lead scientist in the study, Professor Eric Rignot. The date, May 12, 2014.
Welcome, everyone, to this NASA media teleconference on important new findings about the West Antarctic ice sheet and its potential contribution to future sea level rise. This is Steve Cole from NASA's Office of Communications in Washington.
Thanks, Steve. And I just want to say thank you for joining us. I have just 3 points to make before we get to the researchers. And the first one is that I think what this study shows is that we've crossed a critical threshold with regards to our understanding of the polar ice sheets, and that now we don't just know that they are changing, but we have enough observations that we can reach robust conclusions about how they will continue to change and think about what the implications are for us. Second, the results that you're going to hear about today are not based on computer simulations or numerical models. They are based on the interpretation of observations. And I think this is an important point because this sometimes can get lost on the general public when they're trying to understand climate change and the implications. While I realize that sea level rise is the news hook on this and one of the most important parts of the story, there is some amazing science behind what you're going to hear today. This is over 40 years worth of satellite data that's been gathered together, coupled with some aircraft studies, and there's even some work on the ground that's gone on there. The third and final point, why is NASA doing work like this? And the important thing is that Earth science has been a part of NASA since its inception, currently operating 17 satellite missions in orbit around the Earth and major aircraft campaigns to all the corners of the planet, all with a goal of understanding the Earth as an interconnected system. Now, this also includes a broad, active program studying the polar regions, especially to understand their connections to climate change. Now, NASA's contributions are critical in polar regions because the changes occur at continental scales, and that's best studied by satellite and aircraft. You're going to hear a bit today about NASA's Operation IceBridge, which is a mission that's actually flying right now in Greenland, and we're also developing the ICESat-2 satellite mission, which should launch in 2018, specifically to enhance our understanding of work like this. We're also hoping to have a sea level rise portal within the next year that synthesizes these results for everybody from researchers to the general public. And with that, I'll turn over right now to the study's lead author, Eric Rigneault.
Thank you, Tom. Welcome, everyone. My name is Eric Rigneault. Today, we present observational evidence that a large sector of the West Antarctic ice sheet has gone into a state of irreversible retreat. It has passed the point of no return. This retreat will have major consequences for sea level rise worldwide. It will raise sea level by 1.2 meters or 4 feet, but its retreat will also influence adjacent sectors of the West Antarctic ice sheet, which could triple this contribution to sea level. We and many other colleagues have looked extensively at this part of the world over the last two decades, as Tom mentioned, with satellites, airplanes, ships, and ground survey. We have examined enough direct and independent observations of this area to conclude that the retreat of ice in that sector is unstoppable. A little bit of background. Back in the 70s, the great scientific minds of Terry Hughes and Bob Thomas and others recognized that this sector was a weak spot of Antarctica, which could respond rapidly to climate change. But we had to wait until the 1990s to study it because it's so remote. Then it was found that this area was undergoing changes. Warm water was present everywhere below the surface and eroding the glaciers faster than anywhere else in the Antarctic. Since then, we have paid a lot of attention to this sector, and we've also examined historical data. In a recent study published also in Geophysical Research Letters by Mugino et al., we reconstructed 40 years of evolution in this sector to show that ice discharge into the ocean has been continuously increasing for the past four decades, and especially so in the last 10, 15 years. We also found that these changes propagate rapidly over large distances, hundreds of kilometers inland over the whole glacier system. In our new published study of May 12 in Geophysical Research Letters, we present additional data that the junction of the glaciers with the ocean, the grounding line, I will explain that in a second, has been retreating at record speeds, unmatched anywhere in the Antarctic. We also present new evidence that there's no large hill in the back of these glaciers that could create a barrier and hold the retreat back. This is why we conclude that the disappearance of ice in that sector is unstoppable.
You're listening to the May 12, 2014 NASA press conference on recent science that shows that the melting and retreat of six glaciers in the Amundsen Sea embayment of West Antarctica is unstoppable and will raise sea levels by 4 feet. Lead scientist of the study is Professor Eric Rigneault. Present online and by phone at this extraordinary press conference were reporters and science writers for all major media, and NASA had set up animated graphics to illustrate the findings. You can see them online by searching for Runaway Glaciers in West Antarctica on NASA's YouTube channel. It is a normal process for glaciers to build up snow at the top and flow slowly into the ocean, be it on Greenland or Antarctica, and most glaciers form floating extensions or ice shelves. What the animation shows is that through new satellite techniques, it has become finally possible to define the glacier's grounding line. That's exactly where, under often hundreds of feet of ice, the glacier is leaving the firm earth and becomes afloat on the sea. And at that grounding line, the previously unseen drama of sea level rise unfolds today. The warming waters of the oceans are melting the glaciers from below and driving the grounding line ever deeper inland. Except, and that is the second discovery, the inland area away from the shoreline to the Amundsen Sea is not rock and high mountains, as in most of East Antarctica, but deep subglacial valleys that lie well below sea level for miles inland. And it is the discovery of the melting process at the grounding line, combined with finally the most exact topography to date of the land below the five glaciers by Eric Vigneault and his team, that makes the prognosis of the melting of this part of West Antarctica not just an impending risk, but a near certainty. Here's Professor Eric Vigneault's commentary on the animation of grounding line and terrain. Professor Vigneault then hands the presentation off to colleague and longtime collaborator, Sridhar Anandakrishnan, professor in the Department of Geosciences, Penn State.
Now, if you move to the first graphic, which is animation of grounding line, you'll see a vertical section of a glacier flowing into the ocean and developing into a floating extension. The grounding line is the imaginary line below the surface where the glacier detaches from the bed and becomes afloat. Water temperature in this graphic is colored red where it's warm at intermediate depth, about 400 meters below the surface. This water comes into contact with the glacier, melts it. The melted water raises through the water column and entrains more ocean heat. And this circulation of ocean waters beneath the ice continuously removes ice at depth and takes it to the surface as meltwater. Now, if the amount of ocean heat that reaches the glacier increases with time, it melts the glacier faster, the grounding line retreats, the glacier feels less resistance to flow along its bed, it speeds up, it stretches and thins, and this is conducive to more retreat. Each process feeds into the next one. Now, I would like to ask you to move to the second animation called Animation of West Antarctic Ice Sheet Processes. We are taking you to that part of Antarctica to show you actual observations. This sector is drained by six glaciers. The largest one are the giant Pine Island Glacier and Thwaites Glacier, 30 kilometer wide and 100 kilometer wide, respectively. They flow about 4 kilometers per year. The speed of these glaciers is color-coded. Red is fast, blue is slower, and green is the slowest. The glaciers flow into the sea and form floating extensions that we call ice shelves. Now in red, you're going to see areas where the flow speed has been increasing almost every year. The darker the red, the more the glaciers have been speeding up. You see that all the glaciers are speeding up, and the speed up is felt far inland. Now we focus our attention on the Smith Glacier, which is a smaller glacier that has experienced some of the most dramatic changes in recent decades. The grounding line of Smith Glacier in 1996 is at the transition boundary between the blue color, the ice shelf, and the white color, which is ice resting on the continent. Now the animation takes you to 2011. The grounding line is 35 kilometers farther back, a retreat of nearly 2 kilometers per year. And the glacier bed is now 800 meters deeper. If we could peel off ice from the continent and see the bed, we see that all these glaciers flow atop major deep subglacial valleys colored in brown. And the darker the brown color, the deeper the valleys. The farther inland you go, the deeper the valley. As the glacier retreats, they follow these deep valleys. In our new reconstruction of the glacier bed using advanced techniques, we see more details than ever before, but we find no mountains or large hills along the way that could act as a barrier to hold these glaciers back. They will keep sliding back until the ice is gone. So the glaciers speed up, the grounding line retreat, the deep valleys sloping inland all reinforce each other to make the retreat unstoppable. One of the most striking features of these glaciers is that they have been reacting almost simultaneously, and this suggests a common forcing that can only be the ocean. We suspect that the advection of ocean heat onto these glaciers has increased in the recent past and has precipitated these glaciers into a state of rapid retreat that now appears to be unstoppable. You may ask, how does this relate to climate warming? It does, even though the situation is more complex than it would be in Greenland. The advection of ocean heat towards Antarctica is controlled by its wind regime, and we believe that the wind regime around Antarctica has been changing. The winds have increased in intensity and shifted poleward, which results in more warm water advected towards the glaciers. In summary, we have gathered enough evidence over the past two decades and even going back to historical data to reach our conclusion. And now I'll pass it on to Sridhar. We can put these results into a larger context.
Thank you, Eric. This is Sridhar Nandakrishnan. I'm at Penn State University, and I'm not directly associated with this study, though I have worked in Antarctica and Greenland for nearly three decades, and in particular on Thwaites Glacier. In this study, the authors have shown that a part of Antarctica, known as the Amundsen Sea embayment, is undergoing enormous change. I wanted to put that in some historical and perhaps even global context. As many of you know, one of the impacts of ongoing human-caused climate change is a rise in sea level. For the past few decades, that rise has been driven in large measure by factors other than the loss of ice from Antarctica and Greenland. Certainly that those have been a factor, but the larger factor has been things like warming of the oceans that causes the water to expand and other factors. However, from this and other studies in the recent past, it's becoming pretty clear that the major ice sheets of this planet will have a larger and larger role in sea level rise in the decades ahead. As glaciers and ice sheets flow faster, that ice has nowhere to go but into the ocean. And once in the ocean, this results in a rise in sea level around the globe. You've added water to a finite space, and the water's going to go up. To put this in a global context, there's a map of the globe showing Greenland to the north and Antarctica, West and East Antarctica as they're known, at the South Pole. The measured loss of ice has been greatest from Greenland, where the warming of the air and the oceans is amplified and intensified. Thus far, the loss of ice from Antarctica has not been of the same scale. This appears to be changing. Antarctica is traditionally divided into two parts. West Antarctica, where much of the bottom of the ice is below sea level, and East Antarctica, where much of it is above sea level. And from a glaciological and a climatological perspective, that's the critical distinction between these two. In this study, the authors show that West Antarctica, including the large glaciers of Thwaites and Pine Island, but really the entire coastline, is changing. The ice is flowing faster, which puts more water into the ocean, and the boundary between ocean and ice, the grounding line that Eric alluded to, is retreating inland. In West Antarctica, the situation is particularly bad because, as I said, the ground is below sea level. These results show that projections of sea level will likely have to change and be changed upwards as the Amundsen Sea embayment is better understood. Now, as Eric said, people have been talking about this since the 70s. Some very famous glaciologists have referred to this as the, quote, weak underbelly of West Antarctica. But because of its remoteness, it's been very, very tough to get to this area. That's where NASA's ability to look at the continent from space and planes comes in, and NSF, National Science Foundation's ability to put us on the ground, as they did for me and my students and colleagues a number of times, to look at Thwaites Glacier is really, really important. Work is ongoing. We need to apply all the tools to hand to better quantify and project how the warming oceans around West Antarctica will affect sea level that then turns around and affects us all.
Okay, thank you, Sridhar, and thank you to all the panelists. Yes, we will take questions now. We have a couple of questions already in from social media. The first one is directed to Eric. How quickly will all the ice flow into the sea?
When we caught 1.2 meter or 4 feet, It relates only to the drainage basin of Pine Island and Twist Glacier and the neighboring glaciers. But we know from the configuration of West Antarctica that as ice will keep retreating farther inland into that basin, it will affect other basins in the West Antarctic ice sheet. There are two other major basins in the West Antarctic ice sheet that are currently buttressed, held back by very large ice shelves, which are somehow more protected from climate change. But as the retreat of these glaciers will reach farther inland, it will affect these glaciers as well. And if you include all of them into the projection, then you'll get to another 10, 15 feet of sea level changes. What we're presenting today is mostly observational evidence of changes ongoing in the Pine Island Tweed sector. In the other sectors draining the Antarctic ice sheet, one of them does not change very much right now. And in the other one, there's some places thinning and thickening, but there's a consensus that all these changes are acclimatic. They're not responding to climate change as of now.
Okay, thank you. Operator, if you could introduce our next question.
Daryl Fears with The Washington Post. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. You've been watching this phenomenon for some time, and I'm wondering if this has been anticipated. Is this something that the science community has seen coming for some time?
Hey, this is Tom. I just wanted to add one thing. The basic idea here about how we can be in this kind of retreat and it's unstoppable, that idea has been around since the 1970s when people first got some information on the basic geometry of this part of the world. How deep was the bed? How thick was the ice? How is it connected to the ocean? But we finally have hit this point where we have enough observations to put it all together to say, wow, we're really in this state.
Okay, our next question.
Pat Brennan, Orange County Register, next.
Hello, is it correct to say that those glaciers are in a state of irreversible collapse?
We haven't used the word collapse. Collapse, I think, in the imagination of most people, sounds like a catastrophic event that's going to happen in the next few years. We're talking about a retreat that is unstoppable because we think we have enough evidence to say that these glaciers will keep retreating for decades and even centuries to come and will keep contributing to sea level rise. But we're not talking about a collapse such as the collapse of the Larsen B ice shelf, which disappeared in 3 weeks in 2002. We're talking about slow degradation of ice in this part of Antarctica. But maybe this is the way most ice sheet collapse in the real world. We have never seen one before.
Ann Thompson, NBC News, next.
Hi, I just wanted to double check. Is there anything that can be done to reverse this trend? There's nothing that could happen that would keep these glaciers from melting.
I'll just say something brief on it because I don't want to speculate on some of that. But what we're showing today is observational evidence that guides us to say that this sector of West Antarctica is changing. Ice is going to retreat from this sector for decades and centuries to come, and we can't stop it. Now, the speed at which these glaciers will retreat will certainly be affected by climate forcing. As I mentioned before, if climate warming continues and the westerlies increase in intensity and the ice sheet starts to melt at the surface, which it doesn't now, it's quite likely that the retreat of these glaciers will actually accelerate in the future rather than slow down. So it will somehow affect on how fast ice will retreat from this part of Antarctica. It may not decide on whether it's going to stop it or not, but it will have an effect definitely on how fast ice will move out of this sector.
Tracy Watson, USA Today, next.
Thanks. When you started getting these results back about the pace of change and the irreversibility of the change, were you surprised, dismayed? You know, what kind of reaction did you have?
Yes, I think I was surprised. You know, I've been looking at these glaciers myself for about 20 years, and you would expect that by now any new data that falls onto my table is like, ha, I knew that. It's not the case. When we imaged the grounding line of Smith Glacier using the ERS data from 2011, I expected the grounding line to have retreated quite a bit since we had the last chance to look at it, but I honestly didn't expect it to be that far back. 35 kilometers is probably some of the extreme numbers I was picturing in my mind. So these glaciers are retreating fast. I think it's a general picture that we have looking at these satellite airborne data and in-situ data, is that these systems, whether it's Greenland or Antarctic, are changing on faster timescales than we anticipated. And we are kind of rediscovering that every day.
Daryl Fears, The Washington Post, your line is open.
Thank you. I just want to be absolutely sure. Do you believe that carbon emissions have had an effect on the retreat of this ice, or is this something that could be part of a natural process?
This is a good question. I'll first say that as a remote sensing scientist, I do not believe in these things. I look at actual data. I mentioned that these changes are related to climate warming because the advection of ocean heat towards the continent is controlled by the wind regime around Antarctica, what we call the southern hemisphere annular mode. And there's been a strengthening of these winds since probably the 1980s. Which is related in part to climate warming because Antarctica is not warming as fast as the rest of the world. It increases the pressure differential between Antarctica and the rest of the world, and that increases the intensity of these winds. There's also some changes caused by the depletion of the ozone that affected the stratospheric circulation that also contribute to a strengthening of the westerlies. The jury is still out as to which physical process dominates in that, but they work in concert to increase the circulation of winds of Antarctica, which will contribute to advecting more heat from the subsurface ocean towards the Antarctic coastline. And model projections are that with a continuous increase in greenhouse warming, the strength of these winds will keep increasing.
You heard an excerpt of a press conference held by NASA on May 12, 2014. The topic was the loss of ice from glaciers bordering the Amundsen Sea in West Antarctica that appears to be unstoppable. Lead author of the study is Eric Vigneault, glaciologist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena and professor of Earth System Science at UC Irvine. On TUC Radio's next program, you will hear an interview with Professor Vigneault. I asked him what technology and satellite systems he was using to make the discoveries of the last 20 years, and how he's keeping up with the monitoring of this and other vulnerable areas in Antarctica. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Open the newest programs page and scroll down. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and free as podcast online. This is an unfunded program that depends entirely on donations by listeners. You can contact TUC Radio online at tucradio.org. The email is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelaudin. Thank you for listening.